I want to read these words to you. The response within unionism to any form of backstop or special status, which would effectively mutilate Northern Ireland's constitutional position by stealth, would almost certainly trigger a grassroots unionist reaction that would dwarf the anger of the Flyde protests and Drumcree. Remember that the DUP and mainstream unionism largely set their face against the flag protests. The protests did not have universal union support, but when it comes to the very survival of unionism itself, there would undoubtedly be a reaction. There is, of course, no appetite within unionism or in the mind of any sensible person for violence. This is something that no sane person would ever advocate. The words on unionistvoice.com of a certain Jamie Bryson, who joins us now. Good morning.
Morning, Stephen.
Not too far away from the thinking of the UVF and some others. What is this reaction that would dwarf the anger of the flag protests on Drumcree?
Well, you'd imagine, of course, there would be an angry reaction to any attempt to mutilate the constitutional position of Northern Ireland. Now, I have to say, this is no different than what has been said by nationalist commentators, by the Chief Constable, in relation
well,
to,
let's stick to what you've said here.
Yes, but well, I'm drawing a comparison because that is what has been said by Sinn Féin, by nationalist commentators, by the Chief Constable. Sinn Féin threatens civil disobedience, Chris Hazard.
There's a hell of a difference between civil disobedience and a reaction that would dwarf the anger of the flag protests on Drumcree. So during both the flag protests, Jamie, and Drumcree, there was significant violence in Northern Ireland.
Yes, well,
is that what you're talking about here?
It has to be read in the context of the final paragraph you read out, in which no sane person would ever or should ever advocate violence. Nobody would want violence, and nobody would ever advocate that. So it has to be read in that context. But to think that the unionist community would not be deeply angry at an attempt to essentially, by stealth, mutilate our constitutional position, which is deemed, by the way, essentially does, you'd have to be mad.
You'd have to be mad what?
You would have to be mad not to think that the unionist community, there would not be an angry reaction. I don't know what that would be, but I would imagine people's emotions would be extremely high if we were essentially, I listened to the show all morning, Jacob Rees-Mogg is absolutely correct. Dublin would have a greater say in Northern Ireland in relation to the single market than the UK government for the first time ever since the formation of the state.
Well, it would be
Northern
EU
Ireland.
Rules, wouldn't it? But I want to concentrate on this.
The UK aren't at the table.
I want to concentrate on what you've written here first. Are you saying, do you believe that there would be violence on the streets of Northern Ireland?
I don't think any sane person should advocate violence.
There's nobody asking you to advocate or anybody else advocating it. Well, do you think it would happen?
I'm going to take the approach that Colm Eastwood took just before that when he posed a similar question to him and saying that I don't think it would be helpful or sensible to drum up the potential for violence, so I'm not going to do that.
Why'd you write then?
Well, I did it because it's a fair and legitimate position. I stand over the position. Of course, there would be an angry unionist reaction. I'm not going to talk up the potential for violence. If you see the third paragraph that you let out there, I'm very clear. No sane person would ever want violence.
Okay.
But you have to understand the anger.
But we all remember Drumcree, don't we? And we remember the violence associated with the flag protests. So when you say the grassroots union reaction would dwarf that anger, so in what way would it dwarf that anger? What do you mean?
Well, people would be even more angry than they were at the Anglo-Irish Agreement, which was giving Dublin a say. At this point, we would be giving Dublin a greater say. So this goes even beyond the anger.
And how do you think that anger would manifest itself?
Well, as I said, I'm going to take the same approach as Colm Eastwood took. I'm not going to drum up the potential for violence because I don't think that's helpful to anybody. I don't think that is responsible or appropriate, so I'm not going to do that. And I don't think any sane person should ever advocate violence. No, who in the right mind would want violence or would want to advocate violence or to hope for that? No, nobody would want that. We have to sort our differences out through democratic politics and through peaceful methods. And I think the majority of the anger and the reaction would be peaceful. And for example, the anger within the unionist community at this point in time, I imagine, is going to move. The Prime Minister, if you look on Friday, sketched out a two-stage approach that was advised to me by a senior source within the DUP, and I think it's coming to pass. Stage one, where the DUP, the ERG and the 1922 committee would essentially have the numbers to block her, and we would have a leadership contest. And let me just go to the second stage of that, is that the DUP would withdraw the support from the Prime Minister, which would essentially render this a confidence and supply agreement unworkable, but with the caveat that should Theresa May be the place, that they would then support it again. And listen very carefully to the words of Sammy Wilson this morning and in the last couple of days when he says that, their deal is not with the Conservative, is not with Theresa May, but it's with the Conservative Party. Listen to Jacob Rees-Mogg this morning, a senior member of the ERG, when he says that support for the policy is quickly becoming support for the person. And that's an indication for me that moves are afoot. So that because of the unionist anger across the United Kingdom, unionists across the United Kingdom with the Prime Minister, I think the first angry reaction is the Prime Minister will probably be out of a job by this time next week.
Tom Kelly led the Remain campaign in Northern Ireland. Morning to you, Tom.
Morning.
Good morning. So when you have the likes of Jamie here writing that the anger of the flag protests and Drumcree would be dwarfed by this, are you concerned?
I am concerned. I'm concerned that anybody would try to make any of those kind of comparisons. I worked on Drumcree 3 and I know how it ended with the death of three young children. And we discovered that there was nothing worth taking any lives in Northern Ireland. Now, some people got to that realisation later than others. But we did get there eventually through the Good Friday Agreement. And I think it's very, very disappointing because Jamie knows fine well that by writing what he has done, whatever way he caveats it with a few paragraphs, he is trying to inflame a situation. The reality is you don't really hear unionist anger about this. This is all being falsely created to build up tension for political purposes. And I find it very, very difficult, and I think a lot of reasonable people in Northern Ireland find it very, very difficult to understand why, given the place is quite unique and that it is recognised unique, and recognised unique, Stephen, by Arlene Foster in her letter to the government, and I keep pointing this out because it goes to the heart of why Northern Ireland is the way it is. And even the letter from Ruth Davidson says that Northern Ireland is different. She actually says Northern Ireland is different because of the Good Friday Agreement. And, you know, it also has some different policies in relation to agri-food. So the difference is recognised. So for the love of God, I do not know why people are ramping this up, because the constitution of Northern Ireland is not at risk.
Well, Arlene Foster and the DUP are saying that the United Kingdom, the integrity of the United Kingdom is at risk, Tom.
I hear that, Stephen. But, I mean, again, I would love you to take the executive office letter that she signed off with Martin McGuinness and ask her, how the hell do you actually achieve all of the things that you put on that wish list without treating Northern Ireland slightly different to the rest of the UK? Because it is different. You can't make an omelette without cracking eggs.
Well, you know, you keep quoting a letter from Arlene Foster. Let's remember as well that certainly my sources would indicate Arlene Foster only remains in a job due to the drama we have around Brexit. And once that's over, I think Arlene Foster will probably go the same way as the Prime Minister.
But really don't want either our Prime Minister or Arlene Foster as the leader of the DUP. So, I mean, that's quite a...
I'm a hardline unionist. I make no apologies, but I want a hardline unionist to lead the Conservative Party and lead the government, and I want a hardline unionist to lead the DUP. But the notion that this doesn't affect the constitutional position of Northern Ireland, when we go back to the tape that you have played numerous times this morning and what Jacob Rees-Mogg has said, Jacob Rees-Mogg is...
Who has clearly got an agenda.
But listen, let's set the... Whatever the agenda is he right or is he wrong? He's correct. He's absolutely correct. Dublin would have a greater say in the rules governing Northern Ireland in relation to the single market.
Yeah, but he fails to mention the other 26 states that would have a say, doesn't he? He just chooses Dublin. I wonder why.
Let's break this down. Would Dublin have a greater say than London? Yes or no? The answer is quite clearly yes. So therefore, Jacob Rees-Mogg has articulated a factual position. Dublin, which is Northern Ireland's nearest neighbour, would have a greater say over Northern Ireland than our sovereign government in relation to the rules governing the single market. If that, you don't need to make any inflammatory comments. That in of itself is enough to inflame any unionist. And the notion that Tom Kelly is now going to tell me what the thinking of unionists are, and that unionists aren't actually angry. Is he genuinely coming on here and saying that unionists are going to accept the mutilation of the United Kingdom's constitutional integrity and they aren't going to be angry about it? They're just going to go along with it?
I don't hear anybody else use the language that you're using. I didn't even hear Nigel Dodds using that kind of language when he was on TV last night interviewed.
What language?
Stephen, you put your finger on this earlier on this morning. This is like a preamble agreement. This isn't even the agreement. Britain wants to arrive at a trade agreement with the EU because it's important for the UK as it is important for the EU. and it's important for the Irish Republic, but it's critically important for Northern Ireland. And I haven't heard one credible voice in Northern Ireland from the business community coming out and saying that the DUP are delivering what they want economically, even though they signed off what the business community wanted in Northern Ireland in the letter when Arlene Foster led the executive in a DUP-dominated executive with other ministers. She must have had the agreement of the DUP to sign off that letter.
Tom, thank you. Jimmy Bryson, thank you.